Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
A while back, I read an article published in a college newspaper on the West Coast from Portland, Oregon, about Down syndrome. The journalist was Stephen Harris. Stephen, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm thrilled that we're able to talk with you. I was very interested in your article about Down syndrome, the kids that suffer from that and what happens to them. But could we start with something about you?
Okay. I'm actually from Colorado Springs. I come from a Christian household, and I've kind of grown up in the church my whole life. But a couple of years ago, I started hearing you on the radio when I was working, and I heard things from you that I'd never heard anywhere else, things like the personhood movement. And so I became very interested in that.
Wow. You attend Multnomah University,
yes,
right? That's
correct.
A Christian, it's a Bible college.
Yeah, it is.
And so your article was published in The Voice, the school paper there.
Huh?
But so, Stephen, it's an honor to hear that you tuned into the show. Now, where were you listening from? You were from the Springs.
Yeah, I was from the Springs, and I lived really close to Peterson Air Force Base.
All right. So the signal came in down there.
Yeah, I was listening on 670.
AM 670 KLTT, which we're so thrilled is a 50,000-watt signal,
mm-hmm.
and it covers Colorado pretty well, and it gets into a few of our neighboring states.
Right.
So it's an honor to have you tuning in and still following our work here while you're in Portland. And so, Stephen, you heard about the personhood movement from Bob Enyart Live.
Right.
And now you're in a Bible college on the West Coast.
Right. I'm a senior.
Could I ask what's your major?
I have a double major. Everyone here takes Bible and theology, and then they take either a minor or a double major.
Mm-hmm.
And so my other major is journalism.
If you were to forecast where you might go after you get your degree, would you think secular or Christian journalism?
I would definitely think Christian. I've been heavily influenced by many Christian media outlets, people like Chuck and Larry Bates and mm-hmm. yourself. And Steel on Steel with John Leffler.
John Leffler, longtime friend of Bob Enyart Live.
Right,
in fact,
right.
Stephen, John Leffler is one of my mentors. Going way back to 1991, John Leffler was on the air on this station, KLTT.
Oh, wow.
The very week I started on the radio, he gave me a tour of the studio. And he said, here's how you take calls. And he gave me a few of the one-liners I've used over the years.
Right. Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, John Leffler, he's a neat Christian guy.
Right.
He's got a lot of guts.
He does.
So the personhood movement, it has been rebirthed here out of Colorado.
Right.
And we're so thankful that we had 585,000 voters in this liberal state vote to effectively ban all child killing. That was double what the pro-life industry had said we could expect for an all-out ban on abortion. They said you might be able to get 10, 12, 13%. We got 27% of the vote, and that was with all the major pro-life groups and leaders and all the major pro-life Republican candidates against Colorado's personhood amendment. Imagine that. We got 27% of the vote with the whole pro-life industry momentum against us.
I find that incredible. Honestly, when I heard the numbers of the people in support of the personhood movement in Colorado, I was stunned because I thought that it was a very small movement based on well-informed people.
Mm.
And so I was very encouraged that that kind of general populace of the evangelical community could mm-hmm. get connected with that movement.
So, Stephen, how about the folks you've met at Multnomah? Have you shared the personhood vision with anyone?
A little bit. I've become a little bit cautious of it because I find that the personhood movement is really considered too radical for 90% of the people I talk to, including people older than me. I've really come to be a lot more careful about who I share that with because the majority of students at Multnomah are either just basic conservatives, but really I would say a large percentage, at least 50, maybe 70% of the students are liberals and voted for Obama. So I'm very cautious about when and how I share my views on personhood.
Well, I understand that, Stephen. I'd encourage you to be more bold, even though a lot of people will object. it's hard for us to forecast who we may reach and who's going to then blow us off. But there are people we will reach if we are bold enough to challenge them.
Well, that's a good point. Thanks for that.
You're very welcome. Could we address for a moment your statement that a majority of the student body at this Bible college would have voted for Barack Obama? The same thing was true at Notre Dame, which is ostensibly a pro-life institution, where the majority of the Notre Dame campus is pro-Obama.
Right.
And here's what I find interesting from the organizations, pro-life organizations like Focus on the Family or the American Family Association.
Or Concern, the ACLJ.
ACLJ, that's right. Jay Sekulow, Pat Robertson, 700 Club, on and on and on. They advocated positions that would get Republican victories on Election Day.
Right, that's correct.
That was their goal. Uh-huh. And in order to do that, they promoted moral relativism. Mm-hmm. But there was a problem with their strategy, even ignoring the fact that they're disobeying God, because you don't support someone who tells you they're willing to intentionally kill innocent children.
Uh-huh.
You don't support them because right. then you share in the blood the guilt of killing those kids.
Right. I agree with that. But I would say that most people, I don't think, are cognizant.
Yeah, most people don't understand that. You know,
I agree with you totally.
Yeah. And Stephen, that encourages me greatly. We're speaking with Stephen Harris, a student journalist at Multnomah in Portland, Oregon. God in the Bible says if someone else is going to kill somebody, an innocent person, and you know about it, but you just look the other way, God says, I consider that you're guilty also.
Right.
Now imagine how much worse it is when John McCain, for example, we could use 10,000 examples, Mitt Romney, 10,000 Republican candidates tell us, oh yeah, I support killing this certain number of innocent kids. Would you help me? Would you support me? And our Christian pro-lifers, for 30 years, they've trained us to dishonor God, take our loyalty that should be to the Lord and give it to the Republican Party. And so that's what they trained us to do, to vote for child killers.
Yeah, I agree with you. I really think that they've trained us well in their idea of pragmatism.
Right.
People, I think, get confused and they think that it's all semantics because they say we're going to save more children. And so it's really just for the people who are into semantics to go against that.
Yeah.
And I think that's where people really need to just have a clear presentation of the personhood movement.
And Stephen Harris, in the last quarter century, 30 years, mm-hmm. the pro-life movement has passed hundreds and hundreds of laws, hundreds.
Right.
They have given legal protection to not one unborn child, not one.
Mm-hmm.
In all those hundreds of laws that they've passed and thousands of candidates they've elected, and hundreds of judges they put in office, not one unborn child has legal protection in America, not one. So here's where, when I point out that moral relativism cannot be controlled, Dr. Dobson and National Right to Life, Pat Robertson, Jay Sekulow, here's what they thought. They thought they can get us to look the other way when our Republican candidates advocate killing children. Just vote for the Republican anyway, because they thought that would bring us closer to our goal. What they didn't realize is that if do not murder is not a prevailing principle in our lives, then Barack Obama very well may look better than John McCain.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
To the majority of Christian students at Multnomah University, to the majority of faculty and students at Notre Dame, to the majority of people attending so-called Christian churches in America, if do not murder is not a prevailing authority in your life, then Barack Obama may look better than the Republican candidate.
Right.
And that's what James Dobson never calculated. He thought as they promoted secular humanism and moral relativism as a tactic, he thought they could control it and get the millions of pro-family voters to vote for the Republican. But if you don't honor God and obey God, why would anybody obey James Dobson?
Well, and that's correct. And I mean, certainly the majority of evangelicals who follow James Dobson and Jay Sekulow and Pat Robertson are conservative Christians in the regular sense of the word. But on the broader level, I would agree. many of the millennials especially have stepped beyond the traditional conservative model that our leaders have been giving us and have gone even further away from God.
Mm. Now, Stephen, the article you had published in your school paper, Down Syndrome Abortions in the Modern Era, you point out that a significant majority of infants prenatally diagnosed with Down syndrome are then killed, and that's according to Children's Hospital in Boston.
That's correct. Many consider this to be significant, and that this is probably the best example of abortion being used eugenically, because 80 to 90%, according to many sources, of infants diagnosed prenatally to have Down syndrome are aborted.
So of every five babies that are handicapped in this way, four of them are killed in America.
Actually, that's not correct. It took me a while to figure this out, but there's actually only a small percentage of babies who are tested. So really, the
It's of five babies who are diagnosed with Down syndrome in utero in their mother's womb. Of the ones who are diagnosed, four of those are killed.
Right. And Dr. Scott Coe, the guy I interviewed from Boston, the hospital in Boston, really a renowned source. He's been interviewed by people like CNN and BBC. Mm-hmm. He told me that there's only a small percentage of babies who are diagnosed for Down syndrome.
So that most Down syndrome kids are not diagnosed. And in our country, that's like giving them a reprieve on the death sentence, because otherwise most of their parents would decide to kill their kids.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. Now, you interviewed a couple people in this article that that I know and love. Lolita Hanks, mm-hmm. board member with Colorado Right to Life, who's a nurse practitioner, and also Steve Wagner, who does training. He trains pro-life activists around the country.
Right.
But before we get to that, there's a new technique that's coming out that would make testing for Down syndrome much more popular.
Yeah, that's correct. There are two new techniques, actually, and I only had room in my article to mention one. And I don't remember, it's been a while, so I don't remember the specifics of how they work. But essentially, these two techniques are coming down the pipe, and they should be here very soon, maybe within this year, 1 to 3 years, I would say. And the thing that's significant about these techniques is that these techniques are safer and would probably be much more widely used. And so many women right now won't take the test. I believe it's amniocentesis is one of the main tests to see if their child has Down syndrome, because there's a small, about 1% to 2% chance that their baby could be harmed in the test. And so I guess their reasoning is they don't want to have the test because if the baby is healthy, they might hurt their healthy baby, even if they would abort the baby if they found that it wasn't healthy.
Right, right. And so this is going to be another tragic development where thousands of children will be killed in addition to the ones who are currently at risk and, in fact, being aborted.
Right. Well, Dr. Scott Coe from the Boston Hospital said that he didn't think that there would be an increase in abortions because of this. But
well,
many
of course,
other
that's absurd.
Reporters did believe that, especially
But that
Lolita
just,
Hanks.
That just shows his bias, right? Because he supports killing unborn children, and here's another way for parents to decide whether to kill those kids. I've noticed in my observations through decades that when the medical community has what they consider to be a medically necessary abortion, which is a lie, but when they consider that, they get so excited about that. They want to promote that because they feel that that justifies their support of elective abortions. In other words, here's a really merciful reason to kill this kid. And so since killing a child is obviously justifiable, then I'm justified in my broader view of the supposed right to kill a child.
Right. And it was really interesting because in my article, I actually got a short interview with the famous
Peter Singer.
He's a famous ethicist at Princeton University.
From Princeton, that's right. And by the way, congratulations for that, a bit of a coup for a college paper. Of course, Peter Singer is about as wicked as you can get.
Right, right. And the thing I wanted to mention I thought was very interesting was I was going into the interview considering, I mean, obviously I'm trying to be professional journalistically, but on a personal level I considered him a reprobate. But what I found interesting was that his view was that it's really a parental rights issue. And when I asked him what the implications were if a family tested and found that their child would have Down syndrome, he basically said that's the parent's prerogative, and they want to have the child, that's great. If not, that's fine too.
Stephen Harris, of course, Peter Singer also has written about an infant, never mind a baby in utero in the womb, but Peter Singer has written, killing a defective infant is not morally equivalent to killing a person. Sometimes it is not wrong at all. So, of course, abortion brings you to infanticide because moms know that they have a baby in their womb.
Right, and that's correct.
Dads should know that too.
And the thing that I found interesting was that Peter Singer has a lot of voice in the country, and a lot of people know him, and a lot of Christian teachers decry what he does. But really, when I talked to Dr. Brian Scottco, he was kind of agnostic in his, he was kind of neutral in his stance on the issue. And what he said, Dr. Scottco's biggest concern was that parents get the best information they can so that they can make a choice that's right for them. And what I was struck with was, although he had a very compassionate-sounding voice when he said that, and I believe he had good intentions, his view was, in essence, exactly the same as the murderous view of Dr. Peter Singer.
Yeah, great point. And you know what? When we attribute good intentions to people, there's a saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah.
But I think quite often they really don't have good intentions. He could come across as nonchalant, like, oh, I don't have a big stand on this because of two things. One, he knows the test is coming. He doesn't have to advocate it. The law doesn't have to change. It's just a matter of bringing a product to market. And two, he knows that the vast majority of parents in America, even Christian parents, so many, will kill their handicapped child once they find out that they have one.
Right.
And so he doesn't have to take a hard line.
Right.
And
right.
Peter Singer, when he says he thinks it's a parents' rights issue, I believe he's just flat out lying. He's just lying. And I'll give you an example. You know the name of the late term abortionist in Boulder, Colorado, Warren Hearn?
Yes, I do.
I interviewed him on this show some years ago on KLTT. And he said that he believed these decisions were private and the government had no right to get into these decisions. They're family, it's, you know, private matters. And so I asked him about a case that was in the news that week about a woman who was in a coma and her doctors went to court to cut off food and water.
Right.
And her husband was fighting to keep her alive. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, what did he think about the doctor's legal action? He said, oh, I agree with the doctors. I side with the doctors. And I said, Warren Hearn, just 1 minute ago, you said the government has no right in these decisions. These are private family matters. Now you're saying the family's decision should be overridden and the government should decide to starve to death the woman.
Right, right.
And he fumbled all over himself. And within a minute, he ended the interview. So when they say things like, oh, it's parents' rights, oh, it's the right of the family, these child killers are murderers. So I don't give them the courtesy of assuming they're being honest.
Right, right. That makes sense. And I wanted to mention, when I interviewed Steve Wagner, he's from the California-based apologetics group, Stand to Reason,
Greg Kokel,
right.
And Greg was on the radio here in Denver for maybe a couple years, and just a brilliant apologetics ministry that I love dearly. Greg and I have debated on the air, and we've disagreed, for example, about people like Mitt Romney or Rudy Giuliani and others, and he takes a lesser of evils approach.
Uh-huh.
But setting that aside, and I think that's a great tragedy, but I do love and I'm thankful that they have led so many people to the Lord.
Right, right. And it was a real privilege for me to actually interview and write a story with people that I had looked up to for a long time. And Steve Wagner had some really good things to say about how the weak humans help us to be more compassionate and be more caring. He said some really good things about the full tapestry of the human race. But there are things that I didn't have room to put in my story that I thought were really interesting, and I thought I'd mention them. He said in the interview that he didn't think that evangelicals should ask, "What is your view on abortion?" He said instead, "We should ask, what are your views on abortion?" Plural. What he pointed to was that you can use issues like Down syndrome abortion, kind of like a foot in the door or like wedge issues, so that people might not agree in general that there should be no abortions, but evangelicals can use things like Down syndrome abortions to get people uncomfortable and to get them to question abortion. I felt like it was a very clever tactic. I was impressed with his reasoning, but at the same time, coming from a personhood stance, it seemed like a betrayal of the sanctity of human life in that you can kind of compromise on the stand for the right to life in any circumstance in order to have a practical effect.
That was actually our debate with Greg Kokel. In fact, you could search Enyar and Kokel. What is Kokel? K-O-U-K-L, something like that. Greg Kokel, Stand to Reason. And you could Google my last name, his last name. We debated on about 15 radio stations on Stu Epperson's Truth Talk Live.
Uh-huh.
And I accused him of being a moral relativist and advocating the support of people who are blatant murderers.
Mm-hmm.
It was astounding to me how far he could stretch and how evil a person he could advocate us supporting because he thinks it'll eventually lead to a righteous end. And
right,
the Bible
right.
warns so explicitly, don't do evil that good may come of it.
Right. I remember on one of your shows, I remember you said that one conservative Christian actually said that if it came down to a choice between two evil leaders, I think it was Stalin and Hitler, that he would actually vote for Hitler.
Well, yeah, because Hitler did not kill as many innocent people as Stalin did. And I asked the chairman of the Republican Party, Bruce Benson, some years ago. He ostensibly was pro-life, and he's advocating pro-abort Republicans. And they're really undermining pro-life Christian candidates, and the Republican Party leadership tends to do that nationwide. But I asked him, well, what if there was someone that was more evil than Adolf Hitler? And Adolf Hitler got the same percentage of the vote that Bill Clinton got. You know, he got a plurality, the National Socialists, the Nazi Party. And so what if there was a German who advocated killing even more Jews than Hitler did? What would you do? And Bruce Benson said, well, then I would vote for Hitler.
Right. And I find that astounding.
Yeah,
I never thought that I would hear that from a decent American.
And there is no bottom to that abyss, Stephen. There's no bottom to that abyss. If you're going to vote for the lesser of two evils, then you have no standard of righteousness that you are upholding. As long as the Democrats could present a scarier boogeyman, you will vote for a mass murderer. You'll vote for somebody who instituted homosexual marriage like Mitt Romney. You'll vote for somebody who authorized tax-funded surgical elective abortions like Mitt Romney, and you will believe the lie that these people are pro-life and pro-family and pro-marriage.
Right, right. I thought it was actually very helpful that he said he would vote for Hitler, because what I find is that in my interactions with people about personhood versus the traditional model of the pro-life movement,
regulating child killing is the traditional approach.
Mm-hmm. What I found is that people, they need to see extremes in order to understand the concepts. Because as long as it's only 100,000 children a year with George W. Bush, then they won't understand that. It's harder for them, I believe, to be consistent in their views unless they see an extreme example, like someone saying they would vote for Hitler.
Yeah, it does help to expose the logical conclusion of these immoral positions. So, Stephen Harris, I want to thank you so very much for joining us on Bob and Yurt Live. Stephen, it really is an honor to get to know you.
Well, it's been great to talk with you. I've listened to your program for a long time, and it's been a real honor. Thank you so much.
Well, may God bless you. Appreciate that. That was Stephen Harris from Multnomah University in Portland, Oregon, a Bible college where the majority of the student body votes for Barack Obama. And don't be surprised if you find that to be true at most Christian colleges, because our Christian leaders have taken us down the path of moral relativism, and moral relativism cannot be controlled. Moral relativism cannot be controlled. Moral relativism cannot be controlled. When Dr. Dobson asked people to look the other way, set aside God's command, do not murder, and vote for child killers because the Republicans, he thought that he'd be able to control those people 4 years later, 8 years later, 12 years later, and make sure they vote for the Republican. But why? If God doesn't have authority over these voters, why would the pro-life industry have authority over them? If they are not compelled to obey God's principles, why obey the pro-life industry's principles and just elect another Republican? Why? What's in it for them? The truth is nothing. So I appreciate Stephen coming on this program. You're listening to Bob and Yurt Live. We're on the internet at KGov, KGOV.com. And our phone number, if you'd like to call up and talk about the Bible study subscription you could get from us, you can get a Bob and Yurt Live DVD mailed to you every month. Sign up for the BEL Classics. You can go to our website and look at our DVDs, Bible study albums. Go to KGov, KGOV.com. You could, if you're in the Denver area, you can watch Bob and Yurt Live late nights, Friday and Saturday night at midnight to 1. The old BEL TV classics are back, and boy, are they causing a stir on the air. You're going to love them. The response we're getting is just tremendous. People love the TV show, Bob and Yurt Live. So also, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a great school. That's in Arvada, Northwest Denver metro area. And again, our phone number, 800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. We need your help to stay on the air. So would you please help us? Call us, make a donation, subscribe to our resources, or check out The Plot, My Life's Work, an overview of the Bible.